Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Going. It gets the blood going. Not that I need that. In fact, I gotta reach for my coffee. Hold on. There we go. I had to grab it. Last thing I need is more coffee. I think I poured some decaf in this thing. That's what I need on a Friday morning. Any morning, really, for me. Good morning. Welcome to a Buffalo Football Friday. Here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We are ready to rock and roll. And of course, our Buffalo Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the eights. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. We're going to get Sean McDermott on today. Always kind of a moving target, as I say. What I mean by that is you never know if it's going to happen before 11, after 11, because there's a lot of stuff going on down at One Bills Drive. Sean has meetings. The team has a practice today a little bit later. So we'll have him on here during the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll also have Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. He's going to join me at 11:30 on weather for the Bills at Jets. So we'll do that as well. 803-0550 is your number to call to talk to me, Sal Capaccio, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Bills at Jets. You know, it's really interesting when you think about this game that, and it's kind of scary actually when you think about it this way, but it is true, that if the Bills were to drop this game to the Jets, which is certainly possible, right? I mean, it's the NFL. If the Bills were to drop this game, they'd fall immediately to third place in the AFC, unless there's a tie, I guess, between the Patriots and Dolphins, which I don't expect, right? But assuming there is a winner in that game, the Bills would go to third place. at 1-1 because they would have the first tiebreaker would be head to head. The Jets would have them. Second tiebreaker would be division record, and the winner of the Dolphins Patriots game will have a division win, whereas the Bills would have a division loss. So literally, I mean, like, as much as it's really nice to look at the standings right now, and it is really cool to see, okay, the Bills are there at 1-0 and everybody else in the division is 0-1. That's awesome. But the fact is that you're still so early in the season that one win, one game can really swing that and turn it around. And the Jets know that, and they're going to be ready to take on the Bills, and they're going to be ready to make sure that they can try and run the ball, because that's where the Bills last week had issues, stopping the run of the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. That's the number one concern that I have this week heading into this game. At this point, I'm going to be super honest with you. At this point, as much as even like there were times last year where it was pretty pedestrian, if not, you know, not as good, and you know, the Texans game comes to mind, and the Rams at times, the offense. At this point where I am after watching last week and what Josh Allen did against that Ravens defense, really, I know the fourth quarter, but even before the fourth quarter, they were over 20 points, 25 points to get in there. And then I guess they scored the two touchdowns to get to 41, right? So yeah, two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Was it three? Either way, the point is, even though like there were times where it sputtered, especially early in the game, the point is at this point, I'm not really concerned about the offense as long as they have Josh Allen under center. And not that you ever should be, but even at times last year when it didn't go great, like, they still wound up at the end of the year with, what, you know, over 30 points scored a game. And now they lead the league with 41 scored. But the concern is, on the other end, 40 points allowed. 235 yards rushing allowed. Like, this is the issue now. And where the Bills have to be better this week. And now you're facing a Jets team that looked good running the ball last week. And Breece Hall looked really good running the ball last week. Hey, guess what the New York Jets are going to try and do against the Buffalo Bills? I'm going to tell you a real big secret. Shh, they're going to try and run the ball. There you go. Don't tell anybody. It's a secret. The Jets are going to try and run the ball. Seriously, I mean, why wouldn't they? And they should. And if they don't, then it's then that's malpractice on their part. Because they have a good running game. They ran the ball well last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It looked like a good running game. Looked like their two tackles did a really good job. They have Breece Hall, who's a dynamic, really good running back. They have a running quarterback who can use his legs really well, and Justin Fields. And they're going to look at exactly what the Ravens did last week, how tough it was for the Bills to stop the run, and they're going to come into this game and say, we dare you to stop us. So that's the challenge facing the Buffalo Bills. Now, that challenge is going to get even harder if the Bills don't have Ed Oliver. Yesterday, the Bills held a walkthrough. A walkthrough practice. So we did not watch practice as a media. We get to watch normal practice days, but when the team holds a walkthrough, that's a day and that's a practice where the media can't watch. But we were still able to go in the locker room and talk to players. And in the locker room after, Ed Oliver had a boot on his left foot. And he was playing some table tennis. He wasn't like moving around and running or anything, but he was standing there hitting the ball. And then as soon as that was done, he got on a scooter and he scooted away. If you say you're on a scooter and then say scooted away, is that fair? Because it's kind of like you're cheating with the verbiage. He was on a scooter, he scooted away. I mean, that's what it is, but it kind of makes it too easy, right? What other adjective would you use there to leave? So we didn't get a chance to talk to him because he scooted away, went to an area where the media isn't a part of and goes over there. And then we wait until the injury report comes out to see, was this something at, you know, after practice that they put a boot on or... But he did not practice yesterday. But he did Wednesday. So something happened between Wednesday's practice and yesterday by the time we saw Ed Oliver in the locker room. Or even before that, because he did not practice at all Thursday. So I guess we could say it happened between Wednesday's practice and Thursday's practice. Whatever that is, I'm not sure. So we will hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott today. And obviously that's going to be very top of mind. What happened? What's going on with Ed Oliver? as well as other injured players. So we'll talk about that, and we'll get with him, and we'll find out what the injury situation looks like. And, of course, that will be the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Good news that Taron Johnson came back yesterday after missing a day with a quad injury. You need that guy on the field. Good news that James Cook's hamstring that he was listed as wasn't anything that prevented him from doing anything yesterday, because he was a limited participant on Wednesday, full participant on Thursday. Now, there were guys, though, that showed up on the injury report this week that were still going to be, you know, getting word on, including Jordan Hancock, who practiced on Wednesday but was limited on Thursday with a shoulder. Tre'Davious White, limited both days, but I think that's trending well. It looks good because he has now been on the field for a couple of days. We'll see if he becomes active and immediately inserted into the starting lineup. I mean, there's a few ways that could go. If Tre'Davious White's good enough to play but not start, I don't think it's because that they're choosing to start Dorian Strong over him. It might be because they want to make sure that he's, all right, hey, he can play, but we don't want to, you know, don't put him in harm's way completely yet, but if he needs to go in there, that's fine. My guess is it's kind of all or nothing, though. It's either he's going to play and start, or he's just not playing. And the way that this week has gone, Tre'Davious White being limited 2 days in a row, talking to the media, saying he felt good, not giving any indication necessarily if he's playing, that seems like it's trending in the right direction, like I said. Greg Rousseau, a knee injury, limited to 2 days in a row. I saw him getting worked out on the sidelines during the game, but he still finished. Dawson Knox, hip injury, limited 2 days in a row as well. So you do have some guys here that are very, very worth watching and asking Sean McDermott about. And we will do that when we hear from the Bills coach coming up. I'm going to say right around maybe 11 o'clock. Could be a little before. Could be a little after. So be aware and be ready. Something really interesting to me that I saw today. I brought it up to this morning when I was on with Jeremy and Joe. And oh, by the way, just real quick, the Jets, I don't think there's anything here to that's concerning for them, but it is notable that Garrett Wilson, their outstanding, Sauce Gardner, their outstanding cornerback, he was limited yesterday, listed as a groin after practicing in full, and Josh Reynolds, a wide receiver for them, limited with did not practice with a hamstring injury after practicing on Wednesday. So we'll stay on top of that when it comes to the Jets injury front. But something I saw this morning came from Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. Long, long time sports columnist, author, writer. And I just happened to see it come across my feed. I'm like, man, that's really interesting, like, to think about the juxtaposition here, if you want to call it that, which is the Patriots where they are and where the Bills were for many, many years, right? And I don't mean just like as an organization and on the field and winning or losing and playoffs. Did you realize? How about this, Josh? Josh Schmidt, everybody, it's his last day.
What's going on,
buddy?
South? Yeah,
I'm gonna miss you so much, man.
I'm gonna miss you too, man. It's
no,
been fun.
You've been awesome for this show. You've been awesome for WGR. WGR at the Buffalo Broadcasters Association was named Radio Station of the Year in Buffalo, and that's for all formats and everybody, so congratulations to you. I see Joe Cali sitting there. He was nominated to be in finalist for a Rising Star Award. Congratulations to Joe, our program director here, Alan Davis. Congratulations to him, obviously, our brand manager and program director, everybody here at WGR. But wanted to thank you because you've been a big instrumental part of that, a big instrumental part of this show. And a friend, and I really appreciate that. You've been great over the years.
Thank you, Sal. I appreciate that. It's nice of you to say. I've loved working with you on this show over the past couple of years. It's been a blast, you know, filling in for you too every once in a while. That's been great too. I appreciate that, and you know, just all the experience you've given me over the past couple of years has been awesome.
Yeah,
so
you got
I appreciate
it,
buddy.
Yeah, no problem. We're gonna miss you a lot, and. You offered me cake earlier because the morning show had cake that they brought in.
Cake at 10 in the morning. Can't hurt, right?
And I'm not a cake guy. I don't know why. I'm just not. Ice cream cake, no doubt. I love ice cream. Right. I'll eat ice cream cake all day. But I'm not a big desserts or pastry guy, to be quite honest.
Any dessert?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have some once in a while. It's not that I don't like it.
Like
or
cookies, like, brownies?
Yep. Chocolate chip cookies, yes.
Okay.
Brownies, yes. Chocolate, I like chocolate.
Okay.
So if it's chocolate chip cookies or brownies, but can't have too much of it. Brownies I like, but I don't want to, it's just like it's a little too much for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not a big cake eater, especially like the frosting isn't a big, I'm not a frosting guy.
I get that. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's
I didn't want to offend you by not having your cake and enjoying it with you.
No, I understand. I mean, hey, I probably shouldn't be eating cake at 4 or 10 in the morning. 4 in the morning, geez. I've been up since 4 in the morning. But yeah, no, it's all good. I understand that. You got to, you know, watch the sugar intake, and I should probably be doing that too. But hey.
Well, listen, we're going to miss you. And if anybody, today is Josh's last day. He's the one that's on the phones. So when you call at 803-0550 to get on the Northtown Automotive Extra Points show here at a Buffalo Football Friday, why don't you throw Josh a little thank you and good luck to you as well. And then you get through here and you can talk. You don't even have to talk to me. You can just call and say that to him, to be quite honest with you. I'll say that. You just call and say that to him. Thank you and good luck, because he's done an amazing job here. I was going to ask you, though, the reason why this started. Do you know what the longest... Do you know how long it's been since the Patriots have won a playoff game?
Oh. That's a good question. It feels like it's been a while, but not since Brady was there last. So, like, 2018? Somewhere around there?
So, 2019.
2019.
6 years.
Wow.
6 seasons.
That's crazy. 6 years he's been...
19, 20, 22, yeah, so 6 years. Mm. So, because I read the Dan Shaughnessy piece that said it's been 6 years since the Patriots have last won a playoff game, right? Which is really kind of seems, wow, like you wouldn't think that. It's the Patriots, right? And the point I'm making is I read this article on Dan Shaughnessy today, from Dan Shaughnessy, and this just goes to a point about the AFC East, because I want to get to Bills Jets in a minute and how this all ties in, but... He wrote, and his words were, in his article that he wrote, his column, that fair or unfair, it feels like every Patriots game now is a referendum on second-year quarterback Drake May. That is so true, because you might from the outside go, oh, no, come on, like he's a second-year guy. Didn't we do that for every quarterback who came along? Wasn't it every single game? It's the quarterback. Do we have the quarterback? I don't care if they lose every game. Show me the quarterback can be the quarterback. Josh Allen's second year, 2019, right? 2018, he gets hurt. They missed the playoffs. They took a step back after breaking the playoff drought. But 2019, it's like, we got to see something from this quarterback. Like, I got to know if he's the guy. You drafted him in the first round. I don't care if they win or not, but I need to know this is the guy. They did wind up winning. They wound up making the playoffs that year. They lose to Houston, but I think we started to see, I think Josh Allen might be the guy. That was it. We did this with a lot of other quarterbacks over the years. And it's funny to me to see this from the outside. Fair or unfair, Dan Shaughnessy writes, it feels like every Patriots game now is a referendum on second-year quarterback Drake May. I really like Drake May. I think he's very talented, but I agree with that. And I think it's really interesting if you look at the AFC East and where every team is with their quarterback situation, how that kind of plays out. Because the Jets are also in a place where the Bills have been, which is we got a guy here who's bounced around the league, and we think maybe he can it can work here. Like, that's Fitz, right? I know it's Justin Fields, maybe not, I guess, yeah, he's not the same kind of quarterback as Fitz, but Fitz had bounced around the league. He comes in, and oh my gosh, you might have had this guy, and they give him a contract extension. But the Bills have had guys like that. They brought in guys that, you never know, Matt Leinart actually was here, Vince Young was here. These are like preseason guys even, right? So, there's been guys like that too. That's where the Jets are right now. The Jets are like, do we have the guy? Do we have... the quarterback. And, I mean, last week, what did the Jets do last week? I told you their rushing totals. They were 182 yards rushing last week. 212 passing, which actually was 12th best in the league. And 9.64 yards of passing play from Justin Fields last week. And we know he can run. So they're kind of in the same. So you have the Patriots, who are second-year quarterback, referendum on him every single game. Who's the quarterback? Can he be the guy? All of that. Then you have the Jets. Hey, we got this guy. He's on his third team now in 3 years, essentially. He was a former top pick, high draft pick. Can he be the guy? Is this going to work here? We don't know. And then you have the Dolphins. And... I mean, maybe even, I guess, you know what I think about? This is funny. Like, is it bad to say Is it bad to say the Dolphins and Tua might be even more of a comp than when the Bills had Fitz because they paid him? And they don't know if that's the long-term guy?
Yes.
Even though he's younger.
Because they didn't pay Fitz nearly as much
right,
as they paid Tua.
Right, that's right. That's right. Yeah, he got franchise quarterback money.
Oh, yeah. Like
Fitz got an extension, but not like that. Tyrod Taylor got an extension, but not like that. That would be the same thing with Tyrod.
Wasn't Tua paid more than Josh Allen at one point for a month?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's just how those go. But you're right about that. But they're in a situation where they've paid their guy. And it's kind of got to work out, but we don't know if it will. And they don't know if it will. And it might be because of the circumstances around him, to be quite honest with you. But here's Josh Allen. What a life. What a life we're living here in Buffalo. Think about that. Think about where the Patriots are, where the Jets are, where the Dolphins are, the AFC East, the quarterback landscape. What a life. We already know that. We know we got the league MVP here. We know we got an elite guy breaking records every single freaking week. He's going to shatter all-time NFL records, quarterback records, rushing, passing, combined, all those kinds of things. He's gonna go into the Hall of Fame someday. That's going to happen. I mean, it's amazing. You have that, and we knew that, but then you think about where these other teams are and think about where the Bills have been there at some point in their last 20 years, really. 25 years, through the 17-year playoff drought and even into this era of Josh Allen when we didn't know if he was the guy. And there was a referendum on him every week. Dolphins, yep, we've done that. We've done that. We had a young guy we drafted. EJ, drafted EJ, didn't work out. Drafted JP Lossman, didn't work out. Paid a guy, Tyrod Taylor, paid a guy. Fitz, didn't work out. Jets, Justin Fields, yep. Guy comes in, he can run, he can throw. That's Tyrod Taylor again. He's got some stuff he can do with his legs. Does he really the guy? I don't know if he's a good enough passer. That's him. Yeah, can Vince Young play? Can Matt Leinart play? Let's bring these guys in. Top picks. Did that. Drake May, second-year guy. Way too early. No. You got to find out because you only have a 4-year rookie contract, 50-year option. You better find out now. Yep, we've done that. It's amazing to think about. 803-0550 is the number to call. All right, questions, concerns, confidences heading into the Jets game on Sunday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Mike in Colorado starts us off. Hi, Mike.
Yes, good morning. I have two things real quick. I wanted to talk about the Sabres just real quick about them signing another goaltender. I
got on a Buffalo football Friday before a Jets game in week 2.
What happened with Luukkonen? And then my second comment is
sorry, Mike, are you here? Can you hear me? I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I kind of talked over you because I said, "Are you really kidding me? You want to do that on a Buffalo football Friday week 2?" But go ahead, say your comment again.
Well,
I don't want to do that.
Just a real quick comment I had. I just found that kind of weird that Luukkonen getting the huge contract and then they're signing another veteran goaltender. So anyway, my comment would be about the Bills would be about the safety position. I guess I kind of wonder, especially with the revolving door we've had at the defensive line position, why they haven't really tried to bring in some more, veterans. I know that Justin Simmons, and I believe there's one other veteran that's out there, a free agent. Why they haven't, especially after that first game. Brandon Bean's office, as soon as he got to his office after that game, he should have dialed 911, and Justin Simmons should have been at the other end of that call. I mean,
can I ask you a question? Do you know how much? I don't know the answer to this. Do you know how much Justin Simmons wants to sign with any team?
No,
he's still a free agent.
I don't. Yeah. But
right. Wait. Well, hold on. What? Because the point is.
The money at the defensive line position.
Okay. Hold on. You got to slow down. I'm trying to help you here. Okay. So, Justin Simmons is a free agent. He is still a free agent. You know what that tells me? He wants a lot of money, and no one wants to give him that money. Now, the Bills did throw a lot of money at the defensive line position. They made a choice this year. I heard Thad Brown of WROC in Rochester, our buddy Thad Brown, he made a great point this offseason. He said, look, the Bills made a choice. They could have tried to go out and said, you know what? We need to go pour a lot of money at safety because we don't like what we have. Or they could pour money at defensive line. That's what they chose. You can't do both. They like what they have in Taylor Rapp. It's a system where you have to kind of understand and know they like that. And they have a second-year player in Cole Bishop that they want to see work out. Now, it hasn't yet. I get it, Mike. You're totally right about that. But you can't just go pay every position because if they pay safety, they're not paying D-line. And they had to fix that too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. But I guess, knowing what we've known about, I mean, that Taylor rap, I just don't know if this is the answer for this team. I mean, especially, like I said, with all the money that's been thrown at that defensive line, and
they didn't
back 4 or 5 years at the money that's been spent.
Well, it's been some money, but it's been mostly draft picks. Would you rather have them and still have Austin Johnson and Quentin Jefferson up front instead of drafting Deion Walker and TJ Sanders? And, you know, I mean, look, I just think you have to make choices, right? Everybody wants everything the best, and you can't. You have to make choices, and the jury's still out on the safeties. They did not look good last week. I'm not making an excuse or saying they have, but the jury's still out. But if you want to go back to what they had in the D-line last year, that's what you would have had if you would have spent your money elsewhere.
Yeah, no, I get it. I just, after seeing last week's game and if you, especially after last year, especially on third down, this team is just atrocious on third down, especially on third down and long. I don't know what the stats are on third down and long over the last 2 years. You know, it's got to be toward the bottom, you know, five in the whole NFL.
It does, but it doesn't have to be also just on the secondary. That can be on pass rush too, which is what they tried to address.
Yeah, right? You're right there.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. We got to get to one more before we can head to a break. Tim in South Carolina. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Sal. I hate to be the guy who kind of jumps, you know, looking too far in the future here. But my question for you is, if Jackson Hawes kind of stays on the path that he's going right now, you know, PFF grade is strong, talking about the best, you know, run blocker they've ever coached in a tight end. And obviously he can catch the ball with that absolute seed from Josh Allen. My question to you is, when they get to the end of the year, the Bills have been tied against the cap every single year, and I double-checked SpotTrack, and you know more about contracts than I do. Mm-hmm. Sorry I'm rambling on, but my question for you is, does it open up an interesting conversation about Dawson Knox? Because I think the Bills can save like $10 million by getting out at the end of this year. Obviously, we all want Dawson Knox in Buffalo forever, but it's just such an inflated number, and I never really loved that contract from the get-go. I just wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
And maybe if how far they make it this year changes that conversation one way or the other.
I don't think it matters how far they make it. I think it just matters of what they want in the tight end room. I would say there's certainly a conversation there. You're not wrong about that. His cap number next year is pretty big. It's $17 million. I don't want to look too far ahead either, but I will say this. When it gets to next year, he's got a $9.9 million base salary. They could very easily convert that into a bonus and just really knock off a lot of that cap money and still have Dawson Knox on the roster. I mean, because I will tell you, they love what Dawson Knox brings to this organization and what he means and how much he is a consummate pro and does everything right. And now you could say, well, that doesn't matter. You shouldn't pay him for that. That's great. I understand. But I think he's such a valuable part of the organization that they would rather figure something like that out before actually just moving on from him.
And truth be told, I would rather them do that as well because I love Dawson Knox. You know, he's Buffalo. Everything that you just mentioned, I would love for that too. I was just wondering, since they're always tight against the cap, is that maybe somewhere they look? Or obviously, if you had a better idea, I'm sure they'll figure it all out. But
yeah, they can look there, but there's
here because I'm so confident this week.
Yeah, there's ways to do it though. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be just outright releasing. You know what I mean? They did that. They've done that with a lot of guys where they restructure contracts. And I'm looking at it right now: $9.9 million base salary. You could convert that into a signing bonus next year and literally knock like $7 million off your salary cap.
Love it. Thanks, Al.
Yeah, you got it. And that would be maybe my guess. You could do something like that. But it is definitely down the road and in the future. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Glad to be with you. Sal Capaccio here on a Buffalo Football Friday.
I'm an entertainer. I like to be on stage. They're in our division, the Patriots, Dolphins, or the Jets. There's stuff that happens like during games that guys say stuff. It takes you overboard. You know, like that. Some of those things happen previous years with the Jets. So they act, I act, we act. They act, I act, we act. But I would rather it be like that. I like high intensity, high energy, angry games. Like, I enjoy that. I have so many different alter persons. You know, I'm Dion, I'm the snowman, and then I become like the abominable snowman when it comes to the Jets. I don't know. It's almost like getting cold for Christmas. You know, it's bitter taste.
Dion Dawkins, he's always entertaining and always fun to listen to in some respects. And you never know what you're going to get, except truth, right? That's what he said. He's right. He speaks truth. He speaks honesty. And he's talked a lot about the Jets and the rivalry and different parts of that. You know, that, as I said, rivalry over the years with him being involved. And we all remember the Michael Clemens incident in the tunnel a few years ago, which went a bit viral. Deion's words on a podcast after that. Now here they go, back to the Meadowlands. Back to the Meadowlands in New Jersey, RJ, right? That's Dave Hannon. Back to where Jimmy Hoffa is.
That's one of the most iconic RJ calls of all time.
And that's when the old stadium was up, because I apologize. I don't mean to be condescending when asked this. You know what that line references, right? What that means?
I only know that line because of watching the Top Shelf movie where RJ explains it. I don't know the context. Like, I wasn't alive, and I don't know the history of it. I just know his explanation from the movie.
So Jimmy Hoffa was the maybe people don't, because they're just a little young and they don't understand. So the point was that Jimmy Hoffa, who disappeared and his body was never found, and Teamsters and Union and Mafia hit and all that kind of stuff, that there was a rumor, there's a legend that his body was dumped at the Meadowlands site where the old Jets and Giants stadium at the time was being built. That he was in the end zone. That they put the body in there and they covered it up. Nobody knew, because they built the stadium on top of it. That was why in 1994, when Dave Hannon scores, RJ says, because the Devils had played in New Jersey at the Meadowlands arena, he said, this series is going back to where Jimmy Hoffa is. To the Meadowlands in New Jersey. That's where he came up with it, which is amazing.
And that's, again, why he's one of the best.
It's amazing.
He is the best of all time.
Oh,
there's
my God.
No disputing that.
Oh, my God.
Just stuff like that on the fly is just, those are the incredible moments that.
Can you find that?
Yeah. I can find that in two seconds.
Find that for me. I want to play it, because that's how we should set this game up, actually. This series is going back, because it is a series. It's a rivalry series between the Bills and the Jets. It's not a rivalry game with the jerseys. Jets aren't wearing theirs in this game. The Bills aren't going to wear theirs until when they do the home game against the New England Patriots coming up on Sunday night in a couple of weeks. That's when the Bills will wear their rivalry jerseys. But, yeah, I mean, it's a rivalry, and it's a series. So, if you got RJ calling that, Dave Hannon scores the goal, and it's going back to the Meadowlands in New Jersey. That's where this game's going. Josh Allen, by the way, is three passing touchdowns away from 200 in his career. He's got 197. Does he get it this week? 197 right now. If he gets to 200, he will pass when he gets to 200. He will pass Alex Smith, who you know from TV, had the leg and the broken leg and the infection and all that. And he will pass Phil Sims, who's at 199. Oh, Phil Sims and Alex Smith both ended their careers with 199 career touchdown passes in the regular season. Josh Allen's got 197. He's tied right now with Ken Anderson, formerly of the Cincinnati Bengals. After that, it's Roman Gabriel at 201, and then he can vault into the top 50 all time. So Josh Allen needs 2 to get to 200. He needs 6 to be tied with Jim Everett for top 50 all time. Jim Everett of the famed Jim Rome segment, where he called him Chris Everett. And Jim Everett got mad and flipped the table over on him. We're doing a lot of nostalgia here today. You got it? All right. We should intro all things talking about Bills Jets this week with this.
And around on the boards again. Daw picks it off. Here's Daw looking in front. Can't get it to Presley. Gets it again. Daw charging after it. Clear right out in front. Backhand by Hannon. He scores! Dave Hannon! Series is going back to where Jimmy Hoffa is. Back to the Meadowlands in New Jersey.
There it is. We're going back to where Jimmy Hoffa is this weekend. Back to the Meadowlands in New Jersey. It just so fits, doesn't it? I love it. I love going to New York City this time of year, by the way. It is a great, great trip. Let me be, a lot of you are headed out there this week. Going to the game. You know, it's funny. I've been asked a few times this week what the vibe is like at MetLife for a Bills Jets game. And it can be really different depending on the time of year it is. And the reason I say that is maybe the Jets actually have a chance, like early in the year. They win a couple games. Like last year, they were kind of, hey, let's take over the Bills. And they had that situation. Like this year, it's week 2, right? It could be later in the year where you're like, yeah, the Jets aren't that good, and people are dumping their tickets, and Bills fans are taking over. That can happen. But I will tell you, generally, because it's a division game that people can go to every year, it's in the same, well, it's not in the same state. They're called New York, but, you know, it's down the road in New Jersey, 6 hours away. You can go there. People might go there other times anyway for Yankees or Mets or whatever. It's not a quote-unquote destination type of game, right? Destination games for Bills fans are generally games in the South, games out West. Atlanta, Charlotte, Miami, Houston, Tennessee, Nashville, right? Out West, LA, San Francisco, Seattle. That's where people like to go. Now, it doesn't mean that fans don't go to these other games, and it might be easier for people to go to the closer games. But A, that's part of it, that like if you're going to choose a game every year on the schedule, you're like, eh, I can go to the Jets every year. You know what? I can't go to Houston all the time. I can't go to LA all the time. The second part of it is, if the Jets, it is early in the season, and the Jets are at least in the mix, like this year, you know, 0-1, but playing the Bills at home on a Sunday in September, it's tougher to get tickets from Jets fans who aren't going to be dumping their tickets. They're not going to be selling them off. So that makes it tougher. And by the way, it is more expensive. It's New York City. It's New Jersey. It's the Jets. It's a more expensive ticket. So that being said, yes, you get a good Bills crowd. It is different than going to these other cities where it's just massive behind the bench everywhere. It's more kind of dispersed and intermittent in the crowd. Bills fans are there for sure. And if you put them all together behind the bench, you'd get that look. But I remember like just a couple weeks ago in Tampa for the preseason game, like, oh my God, just Bills fans everywhere behind the bench. Last year in LA, last year in Houston. It's crazy. That's not the way it is really at MetLife. But Bills fans are there. Now, later in the year, if the Jets are not as good, it becomes a little different. Bills fans want to go. They want to, you know, hey, watch their team win. And Jets fans don't want to go and watch their teams lose. But it's still a little bit tougher for people. 803-0550. If you want to jump on board the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, we'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We're going to have Sean McDermott a little bit after 11 a.m., it looks like, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So when he comes aboard, we'll ask him about Ed Oliver's injury and get an update on other players and a full injury update, as well as a preview of the Bills at the Jets on Sunday. Okay. Somebody tweeted me something the other day, and I just thought about it today looking over the Bills franchise all time, okay? And I did not realize this. I'm blown away by what I'm about to tell you. Last week was exactly the 1,000th game in Buffalo Bills franchise history. Someone had tweeted me that, and I'm like, I just kind of rolled past it and think about it. I just thought about it because I was looking at something on their franchise page on Pro Football Reference. Unless I'm doing the math wrong, I just did the calculator. The Bills all time, 487 wins plus 505 losses plus 8 ties equals 1,000. They've exactly 1,000 games played in their franchise history. I did not see that anywhere. That's amazing.
I didn't either. Like, nobody posted about that. That's crazy.
The game against the Bengals did not count. That would have been 1,001, obviously, right. if you add that. And I think this has to be, I'm guessing this is just regular season. I don't know, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. Crazy.
And it's the last first game at the stadium. Is the thousandth, game.
The 1,000th game ever played by the organization. And by the way, this goes back to 1960 in the AFL. They're counting everything here. That would go back to then. It was the final home opener ever was the 1,000th game in franchise history.
That's wild.
I got to find who did it, give them credit, because I will find it. And I will tweet it out and give them credit. But I'm kind of blown away by this, to be quite honest with you. I had no idea. Let's go to Mike in Rochester. What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Sal?
Good. How are you?
Good. I went to a game at MetLife Stadium back then, that Thursday night game when Buffalo wore the red and the Jets wore the green and Tyrod Taylor was quarterbacking. And the cool part about going to that game is I don't know how this happened, but we were in the parking lot, and everybody in the parking lot was a Buffalo fan, so it was like being at a home game. So that was a really cool part about going to that game. Nobody sat near each other, so, but that was what I remember most about that game is it was like being at a home game. It was tailgating and everything was great.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, they can be a little rough, Jets fans, right? I've seen every fan base. I've been to all but three NFL stadiums. I always say it's the year of COVID. It was San Francisco, it was Vegas, and it was Arizona. So I've never gone to any of those three stadiums. I've seen every fan base come into Buffalo. I've always said the best, like, nicest people fan base, generally Kansas City. And I hate to say that, but it's true. They're really nice Midwestern people, and they come in, and I've always had good interactions with them, and I think I've heard a lot of great stories. Yeah, I can always have some bad apples. The opposite was always, for me, the Jets. Jets fans, growing up, brash, don't care, in your face, go to New York, in Buffalo, all of that. Did you remember any of that, Mike? Like, what was it like inside the stadium?
The stadium, we sat way up high, so we were way away from everybody else. And, you know, they got that guy with the airplane all day long singing every time the Jets had a drive going. So, yeah, it was kind of – I didn't like it as much. But the thing I remember most about it was the tailgating, even though our parking lot was like 8 miles from the stadium. You had to walk they didn't put us up close, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It wasn't as fun as Seattle was last year. Seattle was great.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate the perspective. Thanks a lot, Mike. The MetLife press box, by the way, is very high up, like the radio booth, but it's a good location. It's like right at midfield. Some of these press boxes and radio booths are a little lower, like the Bills, like the Patriots, they're a little bit lower. Some are higher up. Like Kansas City is way up there. You see over the top of the stadium. It's high up, but it's actually a really good location, and you can see everything. And I've heard some stories over the years about how the Giants and Jets, because they share the stadium, a little different in how they wanted to approach building it and putting the radio and the press box and the writers. And the Giants were more like, yeah, we got to take care of these people. And the Jets were like, no, I don't care about them. So it was kind of, that's just the stories I've heard, folks. I don't know. 1,000th game. I'm looking for the tweet. I apologize. Someone had tweeted me last week and said, is this the Bills' 1,000th game ever? It is. It was. That was the 1,000th game ever played by the Bills last week against the Baltimore Ravens. And now they'll play 1,001 against the New York Jets. We just told you, the Meadowlands, as RJ told us once in 1994, where Jimmy Hoffa is, allegedly. And the Bills and Jets have had a very interesting history. Yesterday, Shope and the Bulldog, I was on with them. We talked and they asked me about memories and how neither team was really ever good at the exact same time, which is pretty much true. The first Bills playoff game I ever remember was the 1981 wildcard game between the Bills and the Jets. And the Bills won 31-27, but they were up big in this game. They were actually up 24 to nothing. Bills were up 24 to nothing in a playoff game and almost blew it against the Jets. 24-0, Jets came back, 24-7, 24-10, 24-13. Bills score 31-13 in the fourth quarter, 31-20, 31-27. And then Richard Todd is intercepted by Bill Simpson as he's trying to hit the game-winning touchdown. If the Bills would have lost that game, they would have blown a 31-13 fourth quarter lead in the playoffs, but they held on for that one. Crazy, right? It's the NFL. And even back then, it was the NFL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Take a timeout. We'll come back. We're going to jump around the league. We're going to get Sean McDermott. He's going to join us for his weekly radio appearance here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Good to be with you.
This series is going back to where Jimmy Hoffa is. Back to the Meadowlands in New Jersey.
I love it. See, there you go. I love it. It just fits. It's so funny. Every time they play, why haven't we thought of this in the many years we've been here doing this? Right? Why haven't we thought about it? They play every year. The series is going back to the Meadowlands. We finally did. Took us a little while to get to it. Sal Capaccio with you. That's Josh Schmidt pushing the buttons. It's his last day. It's his last hour with me producing. Man. So Josh is... Josh is leaving us here at WGR, but we'll still stay in touch, buddy. You never know. Maybe back here for once or twice for something going on. Who knows, right?
Hey, I'm
going
to be on tonight.
Oh, there you go. Well, you're not producing for me, but you'll be on. Wait, what's going on tonight? What is it?
Sabres Prospects Challenge down at Harbor Center. I'll be doing the pregame, postgame, and intermissions with Brian and Paul.
It is that time of year again. We're starting to talk about Sabres on the ice in some capacity.
Yeah, I mean, training camp starts next week. Which is crazy.
It's crazy to think about.
There's actual hockey games this month. Preseason starts later this month.
That's right.
It's nuts.
This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the Eights. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. We will have Sean McDermott at some point here in the next, hopefully, 10 minutes or so, but we'll keep you updated. So be ready as soon as Sean joins us. We'll bring him to you. We'll ask about Ed Oliver, the rest of the injuries, anybody who's declared out, where that's trending for some of these guys, Tre'Davious White. And, of course, a look at the New York Jets, what they were able to do against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. We also want to get Patrick Hammer on. We will do that at the bottom of the hour. Of course, he is WGRZ-TV2 chief meteorologist. He'll give you a little update on weather this weekend in New York. I was saying earlier, you know, I was sidetracked to say, because we got into the New Jersey thing, this is, I love going to New York City this time of year. I really do. I think it's a fantastic summer city. I know everybody says Chicago, great summer city. It is. And that was great. But New York is a really great summer city. It's a great city in general. But there's just so much. The restaurants, it's amazing. Love going there. Walk around downtown, midtown Manhattan, and, you know, Central Park. It's really great. And I think we're going to hear from Pat in a little while that if you're going to the game, you should have pretty good weather. We'll see, though. Maybe a chance for something coming up there, but we'll talk with him in a little while here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Did you watch the football game last night, Josh? Did you watch any of the Packers Commanders last night?
I did not. I had to head off to sleep to get up early this morning.
Okay, well, that's okay.
Terry McLaurin let my fantasy team down, by the way. What's going on? What's wrong with Scary Terry? Why is he not doing nothing?
This is a really good conversation. It actually leads into, it's so funny because... Remember last year you had, man, C.J. Stroud looked amazing, and last year he just was not great. And then this year, it's all about Jaden Daniels, and he's been okay, but he hasn't been, like, wowing and blowing away Jaden Daniels, right?
And then Drake May, too, second-year quarterback, looked really good last year. I told you what Dan Shaughnessy wrote about this year's a referendum on him. He didn't look that great. It's just funny. I think those second-year quarterbacks, a lot of times the league just kind of sees you. They catch up to you a little bit. But how about for the Packers, Jaden Reed, broken collarbone. He's out 6 to 8 weeks, right? I mean,
they were already having some injury problems with Matthew Golden, too.
Yes.
Like they're,
oh, yeah.
They're kind of having some issues there.
Yeah, and remember last year it was all talk about their young wide receivers and how good they were, and it's not untrue, but, you know, they have now, the Packers are kind of built like the Bills, where you get a lot of pass catchers and guys who can do a lot of things, and Tucker Kraft is his name, right? The tight end for the Packers. He was monster last night. He was great last night. He had a big game. Let me pull up his numbers here. Kraft last night, 8 catches, 124 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah, you're right. Terry McLaurin, 5 for 48. I hate, like, fantasy's funny because I played against Terry McLaurin in one league, but not the other leagues I'm in. I'm in, like, four. And I had Brandon McManus in one league, but I actually played against Brandon McManus in another league. So it always comes out. As
yeah,
a wash.
It always ends up working out.
Right? So, whatever.
I had a lot of faith with him and Justin or Jaden Daniels mm-hmm. just kind of having a connection. So, hopefully, me sitting Marvin Harrison Jr. on my bench doesn't come back to bite me. You know, that would stink.
So, last night, 27-18, a 9-point win for the Green Bay Packers. They move to 2-0. The Commanders go to 1-1. Let's take a look around the league and what's coming up this weekend as we prepare you for Sean McDermott coming up here shortly on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, let's take a look at the 1 o'clock games, independent of the Bills and Jets. It's the Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens. Have you seen the quotes or read the quotes or heard the quotes coming out of Cleveland Browns' mouths about this game? I mean, apparently Jerry Jeudy's like, what's the challenge of going against the Ravens secondary? He said, no challenge. And then Grant Delpit was asked, he said something, the fact that it's not hard to bring down Derrick Henry or something. It's really weird. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, it's one thing to have confidence, but that's...
It was wild.
That's a little bit more than confidence. That's almost cockiness. And
yeah.
Like, okay.
Now, I will say, the Browns seem to give the Ravens some fits sometimes. Let's go back to last year. 29-24 was one of the scores. And then at the end of the year, they won 35-10. They lost. Remember, the Browns beat the Ravens last year, 29-24. That game was in Cleveland. In 2023, okay, you have a 28-3 Ravens win, and then you have a loss, a 33-31 loss at home. So, I mean, hey, these two teams, you never know. And, of course, you have the history of Cleveland moving to Baltimore. It's Joe Flacco's return to Baltimore, by the way, Sunday.
That's his first time there since?
I think it might be. I'm not sure. They've been talking a lot about it like it is, but I have to go back and look. It might be. I'm not really sure. Maybe not, but... He's returning as a division rival. So Browns, Ravens, the loser here goes 0-2 in the AFC North, which is really tough to recover from in that division especially. Jags are at the Bengals. Both teams 1-1. I did not love the way the Bengals played last week. Their offense just was not what we thought, you know, it was going to be. And, hey, give the Browns defense some credit. But, you know, last week, the Bengals win 17-16. And the Browns had a missed extra point in that game, by the way. The Jags, in the meantime... They win 26-10 last week against Carolina. They trade Tank Bigsby this week to the Philadelphia Eagles. Travis Etienne was really good last week. Winner of this game goes to 2-0 and will be in really good position in their respective divisions, the AFC South or the AFC North. Giants are at the Cowboys, 0-1 against 0-1 here. Lots of calls already for Jackson Dart to start for the New York Giants. Read about Tyrone Tracy, I believe it was kind of calling out the play calling in the goal line situation for the Giants already. So that's become a story in New York, and everything becomes a story even bigger in New York. Dallas Cowboys 0-1 right now, and they actually played pretty well, I thought, against the Eagles. We'll see. 10 days to prepare here for the Giants. I like the Cowboys probably in this game, but the Giants, they don't want to go 0-2. They have a very tough beginning of the schedule, by the way. Because after this week, they play the Chiefs, then they play the Chargers. So, their first four games. Commanders, Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers for the New York Giants. Bears are at the Lions. Tough one for the Bears Monday night, but they did what the Bears have kind of done over the last year or so. But the Lions, it's kind of coming into fruition, what people thought about them. You lose both coordinators. It's going to be tough. They only scored 13 points against the Packers last week. Big game in the NFC North here early season for standings purposes. Long way to go, but Bears-Lions, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Patriots-Dolphins, the winner of this game is going to be 1-1 and tied with the loser. If the Jets were to beat the Bills, I said this earlier, if the Jets were to beat the Bills, right? The Jets would actually be ahead of the Bills in the standings because it's a head-to-head. And then the winner of this game would actually be ahead of the Bills because of their division record. So the 1-1 could matter here for them and to keep pace. Dolphins already having like player-only meetings. They are not in a good spot right now. But neither are the Patriots with the way they played last week. I mean, last week they lose 13-10. Drake May, 30 of 46 for 287 yards. They throw the ball 46 times. They couldn't run the ball. Travion Henderson, 27 yards rushing. Ramondre Stevenson, 15. I mean, Genty wasn't great running the ball either against them. They didn't have a lot of rushing yards. Both teams combined for just over 100 yards on the ground, by the way. Geno Smith threw for 362 against that Patriots defense. So what is Tua going to be able to do? I don't know, because they didn't do anything last week. 33-8 they lose to the Indianapolis Colts. Now it's players only meetings going on. Dolphins are here a week, less than a week. In less than a week, the Bills play another game. They're home against the Miami Dolphins next Thursday night. I'll have to ask Pat Hammer what the long range is for that, by the way, when he comes on. Niners at the Saints. What's the deal with Brock Purdy? He's out multiple weeks now, right? Brock Purdy's going to be out several weeks. Is that what it is? And so is George Kittle, I think. He's going to be out several weeks. But they go to New Orleans, and look, I mean, they're facing a rookie quarterback, Spencer Rattler, and they're going to...
But they also have Mac Jones at their own quarterback position, so...
That's right.
How's that going to go?
No, I agree with you. When was Rattler drafted here? I just want to look here. He was drafted in the fifth round, 150 overall. Second year, I said rookie. His first year really starting, though, was last year. He was drafted, but fifth round last year. But hey, we'll see. All right, so Niners at the Saints. Let me get back to my schedule here. That's a 1 o'clock game, actually. Seahawks at the Steelers. Seahawks 0-1 after a loss to the 49ers last week. Steelers looking for a second consecutive win, but you know, their defense. I saw the stat yesterday by one of the guys I followed that covers the Steelers. If you go back to last year, for the Steelers, think about this. Now, they gave up 32 to the Jets yesterday, right? Or last week. 32 to the Jets last week. Go back last year, Steelers gave up, 19, 29, 34, 27, 14, 38, 24. Like, they've given up some points in some games. And, you know, with all that talent on defense, it is getting a little bit older. There's a little bit of concern there in Pittsburgh land and Steeler Nation about that. But Aaron Rodgers, the offense, 34 points last week. They're home for their home opener against the Seahawks. Rams are at the Titans. I was impressed by the Titans, the way they played the Denver Broncos. The Titans last week were my loser pick in the loser pool, one team to lose. That was the team that I chose. And the Rams, they come out and beat the Texans and did a really nice job on them. And Matthew Stafford, Matthew Stafford last week. Oh, yeah, not gonna really throw the ball at all during preseason training camp. Lots of questions. 21 of 29, 245 and a touchdown. He's really good. And there are questions. He's older. He's injured. He's got the back issue, whatever, neck. But Matthew Stafford, nice game last week. Tennessee Titans. How did Cam Ward look at his debut? 12 of 28, 112. No touchdowns, no picks. That's what you want. No picks. It's a good encouraging sign for them, but we'll see where they go. We'll get to the 4 o'clock games in a minute. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll hopefully have Sean McDermott for everybody. That way we can spend a little more time with him and not be rushed to a break. We'll do that when we come back here. Sean McDermott coming up after this timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me on the Westshore Hotline on this beautiful Friday morning. The Bills taking on the New York Jets in New Jersey on Sunday afternoon. Good morning, Coach. I hope you had a pleasant week and a great morning.
Good morning to everyone out there, as well as you, Sal. It's good to be with you guys on this Friday morning.
And obviously, we'll talk about the Jets and the injury report. If I can, though, for a minute, I do want to rewind quickly, and I know the game is past and behind us on Sunday night, but I want to recognize it was the 1,000th game in franchise history, and oh, what a great, great way to open up the final season at Highmark Stadium. But after all of that, we talked a little bit about resetting. How do you reset after that and get everybody back on the right frame of mind, especially in a bit of a short week, considering it was a late night?
Yeah, it's a part of week one wins, right? You want to win, you want to get that first win under your belt, but you can't, kind of stew on it too long. You got to move forward, and this league is a week-to-week league, and there's a tremendous amount of parity, as everyone knows, in this league. So we've got a big challenge in front of us this weekend here.
And then obviously Josh Allen named AFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance. Do you do something special with the team? Do you announce it in front of the team? Josh, obviously he's won a bunch of these now. 16, I believe, is the number. How do you celebrate that as a team? Because everybody always says, of course, it is a team award.
No, it is. And Josh would be the first to say that as well. And, what we try and do is get it announced just prior to it being announced publicly. And so that's usually, right after our walkthrough time and before we go out to practice, where guys can recognize, in this case, Josh, and celebrate with him a little bit.
Sean, before we get to the injury report, we'll just set up the matchup here, a division game against the New York Jets. What's been the messaging as far as knowing it's a division game? And you guys have been very good in the division. I saw the note here this morning. Since 2020, 800 winning percentage, 24-6 in AFC East games. Why is it so important, and what has been the messaging about this being a divisional contest?
Well, the division is one of the most important things we can focus on in terms of short-term goals. And you control the division, you get a berth into the playoffs, which sets up everything else. So, we always focus on playing well at home and playing well in the division.
Let's get to the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. I know a lot of eyes are on Ed Oliver and seeing him in a boot yesterday. Sean, if you can update us on him and his status and anybody else who you might want to talk about, possibly what their status is for Sunday, I should say.
Sure, yeah. So Ed will be out this game. Got stepped on at the practice on Wednesday, unfortunately, and just kind of a thing that happens from time to time in practice. And from there we'll see where it goes in the next week as far as his status goes, but for this game at least he'll be out.
Okay, Coach, you had a few other guys that were limited in their participation. Jordan Hancock practiced Wednesday, was limited Thursday. Anything going on there that we should be concerned with?
We'll see. It's one day at a time for him and some of these other guys here. We'll know a little bit more today. We think he'll be available and from a health standpoint, and we'll see where that goes.
And then obviously Tre'Davious White returned to practice this week. Good to see him out there. He said that he was feeling good, but of course, obviously, his status will be determined by you and your coaching staff and medical staff. What have you seen from Tre'Davious White this week, and what's his status for today or Sunday?
Right, he's had a pretty good week of getting back on the field, and we'll see where today leads us again. We had a walkthrough yesterday. Just trying to slow some things down for the players coming off of that Sunday night game and making sure that they're fresh and ready to go. This is a 1 o'clock game for us, and we haven't played a 1 o'clock game in several weeks. So we've got to make sure we are ready to come out of the gates here early on here, which we haven't done, like I said, in a few weeks here.
All right, without Ed Oliver, Coach, we know that means T.J. Sanders, Deion Walker, and of course Daquan Jones, a veteran. But what did you see from the two rookies, T.J. Sanders and Deion Walker, last week in their performance?
Well, the effort was there just in terms of the execution and some of the level of detail and level of, kind of a standard that we talk about play in and play out. These guys are young guys, and it's going to take some time for them to get to that level and get to that level on a consistent basis. And they worked hard this week on, looking to improve on that and that'll continue today.
You said this week needs to be hard. I believe that was the quote, and I appreciated your response, what that means. It doesn't mean really going super hard to practice. Of course you want that, but there's a lot of other things that go into that, which is hard conversations, looking at yourself in the mirror. How did you think that went for you guys this week, the messaging to the coaches and the players?
Well, I believe it. I believe it has unfolded as we had hoped. You want to have, even though you win, that win can cover up some things. So you want to make sure you're digging deep into the body of the work and the conversations that need to be had, and technique things that we need to improve on fundamentally as well, and that we're moving our team forward, making sure we are emphasizing those areas, those key areas for ourselves and the players individually, and then the team collectively.
All right, let's take a look at your opponent this week, a team you have been familiar with, but they do have a new coaching staff, a new quarterback, and they ran the ball really well last week and did a lot of other things really well last week. What kind of issues do the Jets pose on the offensive side of the ball with Justin Fields and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall in that group?
Well, they're talented there, as you mentioned, a few of the stars that they have and difference-making type players. The biggest thing I thought that they did well was they kept the ball away from Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. and didn't allow him to touch it as many times as he would have liked. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers had about 50-some plays, which is probably about 10 under the average that you'd expect in a normal game. And so with that, then, the Jets were able to control the line of scrimmage and run the football well, and in doing so, again, kind of manage the time of possession in their favor.
And we've all seen the Jets over the years. They have a lot of talent on the defensive side. What did you see from that side of the ball when you watch film?
Not surprising, really. They were able to do some things affecting the quarterback and causing some havoc in certainly one-dimensional situations that Pittsburgh found themselves in. So I think the key here is to do our best to stay two-dimensional in terms of being in those two-dimensional situations where we can either run it or throw it.
And you mentioned this week a couple of familiar faces for you. I know that you coach with Coach Wilkes, Steve Wilkes, who's now their defensive coordinator, and, of course, Eric Washington, who had been on your staff as a defensive line coach. So what can you tell us about what you know about how those guys prepare for a game and having their guys ready?
All right, two really good coaches, both really good people, I've learned a lot by being around them, coaching alongside of them, and they're going to do a great job over there.
Coach, thanks a lot for this. I know you have practice today. And then, of course, good luck on Sunday against the Jets in New Jersey. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Sounds great, Sal. Thanks again.
All right. You got it. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Not good news on the injury front for Ed Oliver. He is out for this game. Stepped on Wednesday at practice. So, obviously, shows up Thursday, has the walking boot on. He's not going to play. It's a really tough deal for the Bills defensive line who, look great. Look like with Ed Oliver, who was terrific. He was terrific, and the rest of the group, as Sean said, there some details maybe that need to be buttoned up by the rookies and other guys. But there's your main takeaway from this game and this injury report from Sean McDermott, and of course that is the Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. 803-0550, you want to jump on board, but we'll get Pat Hammer on and we'll talk weather with him and how that might play into this game. Interesting comment from Sean McDermott, I thought, at the very end there about the Jets on defense and what the Bills have to do. He said, we have to stay two-dimensional. Stay two-dimensional. That's good. I mean, that I think that tells you they want to be balanced, run the ball, throw the ball. This isn't a game. I know last week, why didn't they unleash Josh? It wasn't like they didn't throw the ball, but yeah, I thought at times they could have maybe been a little bit more aggressive through the air, attacking. They didn't. Short yardage especially. Got themselves in some tough spots because in short yardage, they tried to run the ball. It didn't go well. And then they had to kind of reset. And now you're on third down. So we'll see what they do this week against a Jets team, an offense that, as he said right there, kept the ball away from Aaron Rodgers. That was something they try to do and will try to do against the Bills. All right, let's get to Patrick Hammer. Right now is going to give us our weather.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
Patrick Hamer on the Western Hotline right now, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. It is a Buffalo Football Friday. Got a game in New Jersey against the Jets on Sunday afternoon. A rare Sunday afternoon game for the Buffalo Bills here. They don't have another one of these for a few more weeks, Pat.
I know. We covet these now, man. I'm just so excited for the Sunday, not only for the game, but for the time.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, Sunday evening, what'd you think? I mean, the weather was just kind of perfect, I guess. A little chillier than we're used to that time of year. But how did it play out for you weather-wise for the game on Sunday and what you're used to this time of year?
Well, I mean, despite the weather, I mean, my blood is still flowing from the outcome
yeah,
of Sunday
sure,
night.
For sure.
The weather was amazing. It was cool. It was perfect football weather. I like these 1 o'clock games because I can watch it in totality, complete to finish, without any hurdles of having to go to bed early like we all have to deal with when we have these night games. And I know we've all had the experience and have shared our experiences from Sunday night, but I got to tell you, you know, these night games are great, but they always mess with our ability to enjoy them because, you know, we all get up in the early hours of the morning the next day. And in this last game, you know, we go on the air at 4:30 in the morning, much like your radio shows go on early. And I'm like, I got to debate, do I finish this game or do I, you know, try to get a little sleep?
We're all there, man. I know.
Have a normal.
What did you do? What did you do?
Okay, we all know it was 15. I think it was at the time we had 8 minutes left. We're down 15, and I feel horrible. But I'm like, okay, I got to do it. I got to cut the cord. I'm getting up in a few hours, and I'm sorry. Like a lot of people, I just didn't feel it. So I went to bed, told my kids, don't message me, don't give me any updates in the morning. But I went to bed considering it was a loss, okay, just given the state, you know, where we were in the game. So I get up the next morning. I turn off all my alerts. I don't want to see what's going on, but I'm prepared. I'm like, should I? By the way, I see an alert that your podcast has been up with Matt Bove. I also know that your arrows up, arrow down column has been posted. Do I rip off the Band-Aid and look at this stuff now, or do I try to watch the rest of the game in the morning, which is what I did? And on my way into work, you know, I kind of have the game on, and I'm listening. And as I'm driving into the station, the whole thing unfolds, and I can't believe that I wasn't there to witness it live. But it was crazy, you know, and I could not believe it. And so, I was one of those people that did not experience it in action because I was a lame-o and went to bed.
I'm telling you, I do not blame anybody. I get it. It's a late night. I'm not here to criticize anybody for leaving the stadium or going to bed. I mean, I get it. Oh, you have to have faith in your team. I mean, it's tough, right? People have lives. It's late, and they were down 2 scores. I get it. Like, I kept saying, the way it worked for me was that, you know, people say, well, what'd you think, you know, the Bills come back and would the Bills come back? And I'm not going to sit here and lie and tell you I thought the Bills would come back. But I will say this, and this is true. Right. I've been in enough of these games where I kept saying to myself, man, if they just get one big play, something could happen here.
Right.
The problem was it was going from 2 scores to 1 score, 2 scores to 1 score. And I said, if they get it to 1 score, they just need one big play. And then that happened. And then the problem was the time was winding down. You know when I thought this same thing and went the other way? When the Bills lost to the Jets in the opener Monday night a few years ago, they had an 11-point fourth-quarter lead. And I kept saying, boy, they just haven't put this team away yet. They haven't put the Jets away yet. If the Jets get one big play, they're back in this game. And then they did. And then they went to overtime and lost the Bills.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, and I was talking about this with Vic Carucci about comparing this to the comeback game with Houston years ago, is that the other team wasn't collapsing. Houston was collapsing during the comeback game, you know, 30 years ago. The Ravens weren't collapsing. A lot of things were still going our way, but it's not like, yes, they did have that 3-and-out, which we still can't imagine them doing, and there was the turnover. But it's not like all of a sudden, you know, the team completely dismantled. They were still scoring points. They were still running on the field. We had to punt, you know, one time during to that comeback. So, I don't know. You're right. We would not go away, and it was so thrilling. And it was just. And then, of course, I see. By the way, the listeners maybe don't know this. You're listening to the Sportscaster of the Year according to the Buffalo Broadcasters Association. So I saw you win that award the other night, and we were commiserating about our experience on Sunday. So. Congratulations on that, by the way.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It was an honor humbling, obviously. And you know, I mean, to be even mentioned as a finalist, especially with some of my best friends in this industry, your sports director, John Scott, Channel 4 sports director, Josh Reed, Channel 7 sports director, Matt Bove, who I do the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with, Dom Tibbetts, who works with Matt over at WKBW. Just to be mentioned with these incredible, great sportscasters was an honor. And when my name was called, it truly was like, I just kind of couldn't believe it. So thank you. I appreciate it. It was great to see you. And so and congratulations to your colleague, Mary Alice Demler. I mean, to go into the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame, how cool was that, right?
It's very cool. And it's you know, rarefied air, the people that are a part of that. Yeah. Of course, sports, weather, news, all the radio, television, the whole thing, social media now. But again, I saw you, and I was still on a high from Sunday night. And we're there to, yeah, I couldn't calm down. I'm like, oh, my God, now I'm here to celebrate with you this award, but I still got to share with you what happened Sunday night, and I can't believe it. Anyway, I feel like I'm finally right, catching my wind and calming down and getting ready for this Sunday.
Well, you won't be able to do that if the same thing happens Sunday, because they play a game another 4 days from then, right? I'm going to ask you about it in a little while, by the way, here in Buffalo, about a week from now. But we'll get to the Jets game. By the way, I'd be remiss in saying lots of people went into the Hall of Fame, and congratulations. And we have one right here who we work with every single day that I do here at WGR and at Odyssey, Todd Brody. We don't really see people a lot of times and know their impact on this industry. And Todd Brody's literally the guy on The Voice that brought you in. Like, when you come up, when you hear the can you play it? Let's play the Pat Hammer weather intro right here again. Let's do this. This is Todd Brody's voice. He just went in the Hall of Fame. Here we go. There we go.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
When you hear that voice, whether it's Sean McDermott's segment or Rob Ray's segment or Eric Wood's segment or Pat Hammer's segment, that is Todd Brody. He is a whiz production assistant, has an incredible, incredible voice, and he was inducted into the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and really, really cool moment for him as well.
A tribute to him, absolutely, and to know that I know I've made it when I've had his name's him speak my name.
You got it. You got it, buddy.
It was a thrill. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say congratulations to him and to his legacy with GR and to the Bills and everything. So that was great. Wonderful.
Yeah. Let's get to the weather. I love going to New York City this time of year. I think it's a great time to visit the city. September is just beautiful. And when the schedule comes out and it's a Sunday afternoon game in New York in September, I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, let's do this. Saturday night is great. Love to go around and be a part of Midtown Manhattan and walk around there. There's a Bills Backers event going on I'm going to make an appearance at this week. So that's going to be awesome, too. But what about the game itself? If people are either in the tri-state area or people are driving to the Meadowlands, what are we looking at on Saturday evening and into Sunday in the game?
Yeah, it's a perfect weekend in New York, weather-wise for sure. No weather issues. There was a moment earlier in the week, and I kind of
you scared me.
To you on that. I know I should have known better. It's like, why he doesn't need to lose any more hair. Why cause any angst with you? But there was something sneaky that I thought could maybe mess with a great forecast on Sunday. As it turns out, that's not to be. The weather looks perfect. There was a little chance of rain that showed up, and then it went away. So the weather looks fantastic for travels there, for anything you're doing on Saturday and Sunday. Kickoff at 80 degrees, not too terribly humid. The sun will be out, of course, not just a little bit of a breeze. There's just weather is not going to play a factor in this game at all. And, you know, if you're traveling, if you're going to the game and you're traveling home Sunday evening, Sunday night or Monday, there's nothing lurking. So it's weather. Hey, this weather has been spectacular around here, as we all know, for the last week. It's going to be just like that there this weekend.
That's great news. So basically, leave the rain jacket home, bring the sunglasses, right?
Yep.
Love it.
100%. Yeah. Don't even throw in the car as like a just in case. There is no just in case.
All right. I like that.
You're going to be fine.
I like packing a little bit lighter. I appreciate that. Okay. Then, as soon as that game is over, we turn our attention right away to a Thursday night game here in Orchard Park against the Miami Dolphins. We're going to try and get you on. Of course, we try to do that ahead of those games. So we'll work out the time and the schedule to have you on the radio here. But right now, I know it's 6 days away. I totally get that. What are we looking at maybe possibly in Orchard Park Thursday night next week?
Yeah, I think this is another beauty. There's no, like, I'm not on the fence with anything that far out. Like, well, I see. It looks great. It's pretty locked in. The weather pattern for next week, too, looks ideal. Epic is the word I love to use. A lot of people do this time of the year when it's like this. Next week, we're close to 80 degrees, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday into Thursday. And there's nothing really kind of, you know, no surprises, we don't think. So I think Thursday night's weather looks pretty nice as well for that night game. And, yeah, no weather concerns whatsoever. Maybe a little cloud cover. But other than that, I think it's going to be warm and no wind issues. Tailgating looks ideal, too. So, yeah, we're scoring pretty high on the first 3 weeks of the season so far, weather-wise, next Thursday included.
The Bills have three home games in a row: a Thursday night, a Sunday night, a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. Let's hope that the weather can stay that way for all those games. It is a night game, and last week a little bit chillier than what we're used to. Is that kind of the pattern now? Are we going to start to dip into the? Are you looking at maybe high 50s, low 60s? Are we even getting cooler for some of these games like Thursday night next week?
Despite how beautiful it was, that was really cool for this time of the year.
Yeah,
to have temperatures in the 50s on a September evening. So no, next week looks it's going to be comfortable. It's not nearly going to be as chilly as it was around here a couple days ago. So we're in a very stable, quiet, very typical weather pattern for September. September can be a month of change. Also, you can get locked into these long periods of quiet, and that usually end abruptly, but that's right. Not going to be the case this over the next 7 to 10 days. Everything looks high and dry, and I have no weather concerns at all for next week.
You always bring the sunshine, and I love when you bring the sunshine, if that makes sense. So thank you. I appreciate that. That's really great. We're going to have a great weather weekend this weekend here in New Jersey, here in Buffalo, and into next week. I have some friends, as they do every year, come up from Florida for the game against the Dolphins, and they've been in some real snow games, and we've had some really great weather. So I love when they can come up here and enjoy Western New York weather this time of year. It's great news for everybody, Pat. Absolutely.
It is. And, I know Miami's coming. You just kind of feel, I hate to say it, but you kind of feel bad for what's going on down there. And
Never. I mean, I like Tua as a person, right? I mean, I like Tua as a person. Right. Seems like a great guy, but I'll never, ever, ever feel bad if the Dolphins are bad. I mean, they are, to me, I know Bulldog said this yesterday. This is true. It's generational for a lot of people like Josh, who, by the way, today's Josh's last day here. My producer, Josh Schmidt. It's his last day.
I didn't know that until I heard it on the air, and we raced to the air, so I didn't get a chance to say goodbye, but we're going to miss him. But
yeah, for sure. Now whether you're Josh's age or Joe DiBiase, Sneaky Joe, it's different.
Yeah.
That's the Patriots is like their hated rival. For me, it's the Dolphins, because that's what it was growing up.
Right.
So I will never feel bad if they're not good.
I don't know what it is, but I guess I just have, and this is going to sound kind of lame, there's something about their coach, McDaniel, that I just have a somewhat of a connection with. I don't know why. I'm kind of rooting for him for whatever reason. I know it's Miami. I wish he was a coach of somebody else. Mm-hmm. I just kind of like his style. I like his vibe. And to see everything kind of imploding,
I get it.
Good for Miami.
I know. Like he's an easy guy to root for. I totally get that part.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. You know. Right. So. Hey, we got to run. Thank you so much. Yeah. We'll talk next week. We'll work out the schedule. People can look, it's going to be really nice weather, but we got to do it anyway, and just to make sure there's nothing that pops up along the way. So we'll do that next week. Okay, buddy?
Something always does. You got it. Look forward to it.
All right, you got it. That is Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, a couple things before we get on out of here. First of all, big news from Sean McDermott. Ed Oliver out for the game on Sunday. He got stepped on during the walkthrough. During practice on Wednesday. You asked me about getting stepped on in the walkthrough. It was Wednesday he said he got stepped on. That's regular practice, not the walkthrough Thursday, which does, you know, if you want to visualize it in your mind, right? It was Wednesday it happened, not on Thursday. But Ed Oliver got stepped on at practice on Wednesday. He is out. He has been meeting with the rest of the Buffalo media after he did his radio segment here. He said he's not ruling him out yet for week three, but that's 6 days from now. So hopefully he can get back on track and be ready for that. That was the Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We'll see the status of the rest of the team, but hopefully that's the only player they're going to be without on Sunday. All right. Also, didn't tell you really quick, the rest of the schedule for week two in the National Football League went through the 1 o'clock games. Of course, that includes Bills at Jets, 4 o'clock, 4:05, Panthers at Cardinals in the NFC, Broncos at Colts. That should be an interesting one. Both teams 1-0, 4:05. And the big marquee Sunday evening matchup, late afternoon, Eagles at Chiefs, a rematch of the Super Bowl. That's the 4:25 p.m. Game. On week number two, Falcons at Vikings late at night. That's your Sunday night contest. Monday, there's two games. Buccaneers at Texans, Chargers at Raiders. I think, so you got three AFC teams playing, plus the NFC teams, the team the Bills play. So a lot of good watching going on this weekend. And then finally, Monday last week, a friend of mine, Jeff, texted me, called me actually, said, "You never did Hey Buddy and sit up and stand down." I'm like, oh my God, you're right. I've been doing it for years. I got to remember to do that. But you know what? I figured we're here on a Friday. We didn't do it on Monday. We're going to do it next Monday. It's going to come up. I promise I'll remember sit up, stand down, Hey Buddy this coming Monday. I don't know why that slipped my mind last week to kind of make sure we did all that. But I will say though, in the 1.5 minutes remaining here, Josh Schmidt, we're going to make you my buddy here on a Friday. Thank you for all you've done. Again, I know we said this earlier, but I'm going to miss you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and just in general here at WGR. You've done an amazing job. I know you've gotten a lot of experience here in radio, and I know that you're walking away here with your head high, knowing that you contributed to the radio station of the year, WGR. And as we said, you'll still be around doing some things and helping out, but always a friend. And seriously, man, we're very, very, very proud of you, but sad to see you go.
Thank you, Sal. I really appreciate that. And it's been a blast being a part of this, being a part of just an amazing, storied, historic, whatever word you want to use for this amazing place of all the great people that have followed before me.
When was the first time you were on the air here? When did you start in this role?
I started in this role 2 years ago to the date.
Wow. Holy cow.
9/12 was when I thank you. Yeah, 9/12 was when I started. The day after the Bills lost to the Jets in overtime.
Ooh. In the week
That was a fun first.
How long have you been at WGR overall or Odyssey?
Odyssey overall, 4 years to the date.
Four years to the date. Well, you know what? You've seen some really good football. Not as much in the hockey side. Maybe that'll turn around.
We're getting there. Maybe.
Josh, congratulations to you, on a great start to your radio career, and wherever your life and travels take you, you're going to be great at that. And thank you very much for being a great friend, a great producer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thank you very much. We're going to have Sabres Live up next, followed by One Bills Live. Show up with the Bulldog after that here today. Enjoy the rest of your Friday into the weekend. Bills Jets on Sunday here on WGR and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.